do today and tomorrow is something a little different. Paul's last letter to Timothy occurred in either AD 65 or 66. And it was written just before he was murdered or killed by the Romans. And then Peter's last letter, both of which are interesting to the point that, but they can't be looked at as history. They have to be looked at as if Paul were writing this letter to you. Otherwise, it's just, you know, some kind of historical document or philosophy or whatever. So you have to see that, and I would ask you to go there now. Go to 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, verse 1, and read it or hear it as if it is being written directly to you by the great apostle. All right?
Well, this is the zeal that you talked about.
Well, it's, I don't know if it's a zeal or not, but it's important. Do you have a stolen Bible, Sue? Is that a Gideon Bible?
No,
it's different.
It's all different.
Otherwise, somebody could give you the page number.
Well, I had to write this Bible on a header.
All right. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first at thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Now Paul is... they've just had the second tribunal. They needed two. One, the first one, he was found guilty, and no one appeared in his favor. There was one of his disciples, a coppersmith, Alexander, I think his name was, that testified against him before the tribunal. Now, one of the members of the tribunal was Nero himself. So we had this is a big deal. It's like being before our president, or yeah, that's not even big enough. So anyway, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing or by the revelation of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now the exhortation starts. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember that word study is peristemi, which means no, the normal meaning for that peristemi is you present yourself a living sacrifice. That's what's translated as study here. Now, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or cancer. And of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, there's nothing bigger than for someone to, a bigger apostasy than to say the resurrection is past already. Now, you may not say that with words, but you say it by your life. You say it because you walk just the same way as with the affairs of this life, as everybody else does. And so you're saying that Christ really, he's philosophically in you, but you're continuing on your life. You understand the difference? You say that you're saying the resurrection is past already by continuing with your life as it was. Does anybody want to discuss that? Or you understand it? All right.
I have a question about the earlier in that chapter. It talks about stirring the gift. It almost sounds like something we can do or something.
Well, it's the idea is that any minister that's been called as a minister, at some point after the first apostles, it was passed on by the laying on of hands. It was an affirmation. It was an ordination. And so, you know, that's what that means. And then it's, he's saying, just don't forget that.
Yeah.
Okay?
So just remembering who you are and remembering
yeah.
the resurrection.
Right.
Yeah, it starts to get...
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, in verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now remember, the word iniquity, the way we would translate it in our language, is self-seeking. Depart from self-seeking, under any guise. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And you don't want to be a vessel to dishonor. So he's saying, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, this is a biggie. You purge yourself. Now, the purging if any man therefore purge himself from these, from what? From the vessel being a vessel of earth or a vessel of wood? That's the ones that are to dishonor. We will never finish if I get off on one of these.
Isn't that, that's talking about us casting down imaginations, right?
The whole thing, yeah. Flee also youthful lusts. And remember, lust isn't just sex. It's wanting more than you have, wanting things to be different. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, how do you oppose yourself? No, how do you oppose yourself? How you? That's the bad part. You oppose yourself by still thinking there's two of you. And if you do, then you've been taken captive by the devil at his will. And you're thinking there are two of you if you use your mind for anything, except, you know, you the test is, it's always, if you're going to use the mind, make it sure it's the test of truth. Is anything that I'm concerned about or thinking about change with time, place, or circumstance? If it does, then it's cast down as a ridiculous imagination. Instead, what happens, if you follow this, all you can do is live by faith. All right. Now this sounds like it's written for us today, so listen carefully. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, again, you see what having a form of godliness but denying his power. That's so common it's almost not, because you believe. You remember the thing that I've said so often. If people have told me, if I did what you said, Oli, I'd just go sit in a corner. Well, that's because you have a form of godliness but deny his efficacy, his power, his ability. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth, the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The persecution is always external, because that, again, that is the trial of faith. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And remember, as we said so many times, the scripture, the only thing that existed as scripture was the Old Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers to satisfy their itching ears, is what it says in the Greek. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, even though at this point he'd been found guilty, well, we'll see it in a minute, but he'd been found guilty at the first tribunal, but then he was sentenced, he will be sentenced at the second tribunal, and the sentence was death, but they're still uncertain when it's going to be happened. You know, they haven't set the time. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for ministry. And Tychius, however, have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now the parchments are these documents that were written on sheepskin. And they were the, they didn't have a Bible, they had a Torah. But the parchments were fundamentally the words of Christ that had been copied down and given. Each disciple, each one of the apostles had it. And then as these others were named apostles, then they too were given copies of those parchments. And they were like the most precious thing in the world. So the book here he's talking about is the Torah. But the parchments are the sayings and parables of Jesus as recorded by the disciples. All right. This is where it talks about. And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first response to the tribunal, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Now, for many years, Paul was kept. He was under house arrest, but he was one of the muckety-mucks in the Roman Empire. He lived in the palace, according to the ancient books. He lived in the palace under house arrest, so he was living pretty well. At this point, some say that he was taken into another area, probably still under house arrest, but at a closer to a place where the crucifixion was going. I mean, yeah, where he was going to be killed, crucified. No, his head was cut off. Never mind. Peter was crucified. Now, if you can hear that this was a letter to you, then it can have a massive change. You know, the one that we'll read tomorrow, which is Peter's last letter, is even more so. So anybody have any response to any of this?
Yeah, I hear over and over in this commit this to others. Speak, and it reminds me of what Jesus said to Peter, you know, feed my sheep.
Amen. Three times.
Yeah, three times.
But we love to talk about that sometimes because it's different words.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I saw something back in 2, where in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And it's like the, it's like you've said many times, if you exert your strength, then Christ retreats. So you don't oppose yourself, or that phenomenon of opposing yourself, I guess, is the flesh, the Antichrist, whatever, who is aggressive.
Well, it's always he's always manifest by you believing that you exist. So your mind is put back into the picture, and that's where you pose yourself. The true self, your true identity, is Christ.
Right, and that that's what you're opposing. That's your identity.
Right. And you oppose that every time you use, you make judgments after the flesh, you or the senses, you use your mind. I mean, that's how you, that's when you're opposing yourself.
Yeah. And this is true exhortation. It's like in meekness, instructing those that oppose yourself. It's like you can't beat somebody up and get them to stop opposing themselves. You approach them in a different way. God gives repentance. It's real subtle here how hearing takes place. Well,
I would encourage you to look up the definition of meekness.
I was just wondering that.
My takeaway from the definition of meekness is it's a saber-toothed tiger walking through the room that doesn't take your throat off. Meekness can only come from a position of strength, of knowledge. The meekness is how that's manifested. And probably a better example would be a lion in the circus of Rome that didn't kill you.
I hear it as as in love. Like,
yeah, well, it is love. It's pure love. Yeah, he testified against him to the tribunal. He testified before the no one appeared in his behalf. That's why he said all forsook him.
Were they friends before?
Not only friends, he was a believer. He was probably a leader in the church. Well, you remember the whole issue that after AD 64, the charge was against the Christians. This is in 66 or 65, so this was more than likely the charge. We don't know for sure, but it more than likely was. So that was he hated humanity.
And that would be enough to kill you?
That was a death penalty sentence in the Roman Empire. Because you're preaching the cross. But it became a deal because remember in 64 when the fire, big fire started, the Christians thought it was the end of the world, and so they joyfully went out and threw all their belongings and clothes and everything on the fire. And so, and there were many that testified against them, but they maybe had even caused the fire. I don't think that ever stood. But by them doing all that, that began the thing. Plus the preaching of the cross, that they hated humanity. I think that's, well, the best I can tell, that's the charge that was brought against Paul.
And it was by the Romans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a Roman. He, remember, he was in Jerusalem, and they were going to kill him, and the Jews, and then so he appealed, because he was by law a Roman citizen, because he was from Paul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
And he appealed to Rome, and the Roman soldiers, they had to protect him then and take him to the tribunal. Well, he first went before a couple of the local magistrates, I forgot their names right now, they said since he appealed to Rome, that's his exact words, then they had to take him.
Yeah, and this preaching of the cross is totally against Caesar.
Well, it's as I said, if we really preach the cross to the world here, we would be hated of all men just like they were. Because all value systems that you have at any time and any place in the world, you're going to be accused of hating humanity. Well, the whole Roman Empire was shortly, not that many years. I mean, in terms of eons, it was in the year 325. This was the year 66, so it's a couple hundred years plus later. That's when the emperor became a Christian. And then he did more to screw up Christianity than any other, because that's when they started worshiping bigness and the buildings and all of this stuff.
Are you saying meek earlier? I heard the word meek many times. I just think of that as total surrender. Implies that or means that other things.
Oh, that's a good definition. All right, anybody else? Take a big guy. We'll read 2 Peter tomorrow.